Thank you for shedding your blood for our sins. Thank you, Lord, that, Lord, although we are undeserving, that you still saw fit that we needed a Savior. And I thank you for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for my sins. Lord, I ask you now in the name of Jesus, just bind the devil off this time. Lord, we won't be long in preaching tonight, but Lord, bless us in the other activities that we'll do, and bless us in our meeting after our VBS meeting, Lord, please. Lord, a lot of people have been praying hard about VBS. God, I pray you bless it. You add to our church, Lord. You'll multiply our ministry. And Lord, just give us fruit for our labor in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Tonight, we're going to get into the next lesson of our spiritual warfare study. It's all in your head. You know, and our mind is part of our what, church? Our soul, correct? Our mind, emotion, and will. Well, this lesson tonight, it's all in your head. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, in verse number 5, when you're there, say amen. All right, 2 Corinthians 10, 5 says, casting down what, church? Imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of who? God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So the triune creation of man. In Genesis 1:26 says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Notice the terminology. Our image, let us make man in our image. God did not say, let me make man in my image, did he? The Bible says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. And all God's men said, amen. And over the fowl of the air. And all God's bird hunters said, amen. Good. And over the cattle. And all God's cattlemen said, amen. Good. And over all the earth and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. What we have here is the triune God taking counsel together concerning the creation of man. Notice, let us, he said, in our and after our likeness, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So what you can establish all the way back in Genesis is that there was a Father, there was a Son, and there was a what? A Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ was and always has been and always will be. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was who? God. There, we've always had a Father, we've always had a Son, and we've always had a Holy Ghost. They met together and decided to make man after their image and in their likeness. This means that God created us as triune beings. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Now pay attention to this. It says, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can be blameless in our spirit if we're saved because we have the Holy Spirit of God living within us. That's probably the easiest place to be blameless, if you'd ask me. But then there's our soul that we are to that we are commanded to be preserved blameless in. That's our mind. What else? Emotion and our will. That one's pretty difficult to be blameless in because oftentimes we let things in our mind that should not be there. And because we do that, it affects our emotions and then it affects our will. So it's kind of hard to be blameless in our mind or in our soul. And then it says our body should be preserved blameless. This is where it gets difficult when we try to separate ourselves from the world. Now, how many of you know? Now, let's just be real here. I don't want to offend nobody tonight. So God created man and he created woman, correct? Okay, now the Bible teaches that men ought to dress like men and women ought to dress like what? Women, right? There ought to be, there's a difference, right? Okay, so when we're preserved blameless in our body, listen, this is everything. Our eyes are part of our body, correct? So if I look at something that hurts me spiritually, is the eye a part of my body? So now I've offended my eye, right? If my right eye offend thee, what does it say? Pluck it out. You know it's better to, I'm paraphrasing, go to heaven with one eye than to die and go to hell, right? Paraphrasing, that's not King James. But now if I listen to something, is the ear part of my body? If I listen to something that I shouldn't listen to, is my body blameless? If I use my tongue to speak things that I should not speak, is my tongue and my body, is my body blameless? If I outwardly appear as something that I'm not because of the way I look, is my body blameless? If I'm a Christian, and I'm supposed to be a Christian, a Christ follower, I'm following Jesus Christ, and what that means is he's leading you. And let me tell you something. From our independent Baptist churches to our public schools, the dress codes are not very Christ-leading. Y'all okay tonight? What I'm trying to say is, a Christ follower is going to want to look like a Christ follower. They're not going to want to dress to impress other people. Understand what I'm saying? Really and truly, who do we have to, and I'm talking about guys and girls here. I'm not just talking to ladies. I'm talking to guys too. Look, there's a lot of men that call themselves pastors or preachers that I wouldn't get caught dead around. Why? Because I'm not respecting somebody that's wearing skinny jeans and flip-flops and a tight t-shirt preaching the gospel. That ain't happening. Hey, look, I wouldn't listen to our president speak if he showed up in a pair of shorts just to address the nation. Hello? Shorts and flip-flops and a cutoff? I mean, now, the one in there now might not know that's what he's wearing. And look, we prayed that God would remove him. How many read the news today? He's not running. But you know what's important now? We better be praying for who is. See, God still answers prayers. He hears the effectual, fervent prayer. But now, I'll be honest, the last couple of weeks I've been praying that he'd stay in this thing because I thought it'd be an easy win, right? But you know the devil's not going to go down without a fight. But neither are we. But here's what I'm saying. If we're to be preserved blameless in our body, we better start caring about what we look like when we're around everyone, not just at church. I'm talking about at home. I'm talking about at work. I'm talking about at church, at school. Listen, why are you dressing the way you're dressing? Because everyone else is doing it? Because if I dress like this, they're going to make fun of me. If I dress like that, you don't know how hard it is to not fit in. Oh, I do. I get it. I understand. I've been condemned by independent Baptist preachers for wearing a tie. I mean, I've been called a legalist. You know what I say? Look, I don't wear a tie for you. I wear it because that's what I want to do. It's my conviction. And I'm not telling you go you have to wear a tie. You do you, okay? But whatever you're wearing, make sure that God would approve of it. Amen? You know, there's parts of our bodies, let's just be real, if our body is to be preserved blameless, if we're showing off parts of our bodies that were never supposed to be seen except for by our future husband or wife, everybody's real quiet. Is everybody all right? Am I overstepping some boundaries here? If I am, here's your chance. Speak up. Look, if you're advertising something, yet you get offended if guys look at you the wrong way or girls look at you the wrong way, then dress better. Cover it up. You hear what I'm saying? Listen, it's natural for a guy to look at a female. That's what's natural. Amen? Now, if she's dressed inappropriately, look, it ain't right, guys, for you to lust after her. But it also ain't right, ladies, for you to cause him to have the idea to lust in here. Amen? Likewise, guys, look, I've seen guys show up to church where I wish I could preach on girls' mini skirts. But their shorts are this short. How many of you know that ain't okay? Look, no one cares to see that stuff. You know what the Bible calls that? Nakedness. That's the part of the body that none of us in here should be interested in. Amen. So listen, if we're going to be preserved blameless in our spirit, oh yeah, I got the Holy Spirit, and I don't think bad thoughts, I don't say bad things, my emotions are pretty good, I've been doing good in my soul, but what about your body? Folks, listen, God said we need to be preserved blameless. How long I got to do that? Until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, or until the day that we die. We were created with a spirit, a soul, and a body. The body is neutral. It operates not only by its own power, but is driven and obeys that which the soul and spirit tell it to do. Would everybody agree with that? Amen. The spirit is where the spirit of God dwells in a man. Romans 8:16 says, the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When you received Christ as your Savior, you were saved, and the spirit of God came to dwell within your spirit. The work of salvation is threefold. It includes the work of justification in your spirit. That's in the past. An example of the work of justification would be the day you were saved. I was saved June of 2000. And that day the Holy Spirit of God moved into my spirit. He quickened me and brought me to life. The Bible says that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The day that I received Christ as my Savior, in the tribunal court of heaven, God declared me totally justified of my past, present, and future sins. Did you know that? Every single one of your sins paid in full. I love that song. Paid in full. I've done the work I came to do. Hey, listen. Jesus paid for all of our sins. There's not a sin that you've ever committed or a sin that you're ever going to commit. And you will commit more. Amen. But guess what? They're paid for. But again, there's no license to sin, right? This is a finished work of God. There's nothing that can interrupt that work of God. If you are saved and genuinely born again, then guess what? You are justified too. Nothing can interrupt that eternal work of God. So the work of justification in your spirit, that's in the past. The work of sanctification in your soul, that's in the present. And the work of glorification in your body, that's in the future. In the future, you're going to receive a new body. This is what we call the work of glorification. This is a promised work of God. How many is looking forward to that? A new body. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that this mortal man is going to take off our mortality and put immorality on. Take off corruptible and put on an incorruptible body. We will receive our new body. That is the work of glorification. This eternal work is a done deal, just like the work of justification. So the battle tonight is in your mind. The Word of God in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6 uses four distinctive words. Turn your Bibles there while I'm getting there. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. It uses four distinctive words that all deal with the mind. This passage deals with the words stronghold, imaginations, knowledge, and thoughts. So where are strongholds? Strongholds are in your mind. Where are imaginations? Imaginations are in your mind. The Bible speaks of knowledge. Where is knowledge? Knowledge is in your what? Your mind. The Bible speaks of thoughts. Where are thoughts? Thoughts are in your what, church? Your mind. The battle that we face is all in the head or mind. This is where we struggle. How many would agree with that? Good. As we look at this portion of Scripture, Paul is relaying to us that the battleground between God and Satan in a person's life is in their what? Their mind. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6, for though we walk in the what? Flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of, here's that word, what? Strongholds, casting down what, church? Imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the what? Knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every what? Thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The battle that is being described is in the mind. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The word thinketh means as a man calculates or reasons or estimates, and in his heart means within his mind, within his soul, or within himself. So levels of attack on the mind, the stronghold, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. A stronghold is a castle or a fortress. To fortify through an idea, a thought on which one relies, the argument and reasoning by which a person endeavors to fortify his opinion and defend it against his opponent. It is a lie or a false idea that a person believes is true. This stronghold is so true to them that they literally are held in bondage to that thought. They are willing to argue their opinion with that thought. How many people you know tonight might be suffering with strongholds? Raise your hand if you think you know somebody. Now, don't raise your hand here, but I wonder how many of you would just in your mind answer this question honestly. And then we're going to go over a list of stuff here and we're going to be done. And I'm going to ask the question again. How many of you tonight think that you may be suffering with some strongholds or some lies that the enemy might be telling you? Well, let's go over this. So the stronghold, then there's images, casting down imaginations, knowledge, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, thoughts, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So how the enemy uses lies against us. The enemy will use lies against us to make us believe certain facts must be true. There are circumstances in life that will broadside you, and if you're not careful, the enemy will bring to remembrance other occurrences that will lead you to believe lies about yourself. The enemy will get you to believe lies about God, others, and yourself. I'm going to go through a list of things. So tonight, I'm going to ask you again right now. I wonder how many of you think tonight, maybe I suffer with believing lies of the devil. Don't raise your hand. But I'm going to go through these slowly. And then I'm going to ask you the question again. Then we'll have a short altar call tonight. And then we're going to have some fun, okay? Everybody ready? Here's a list of things that the enemy will lie to you about. Number one, he'll lie to you about God. He'll say things like this: God does not really love me. God does not accept me. God does not care about me. God is not fair. God ripped me off. God cares about others more than me. God cannot use me. God cannot forgive me. God cannot be trusted. Many of you, just preaching to you in that short few seconds, I watched some of your faces go from smiles to total surprise. Why? Because some of you are believing those lies that I just read you, that the enemy has convinced you that God doesn't really care, that God can't use you, that you're not good enough for God, that God doesn't really accept me, God can't be trusted. I wonder if you believe lies that the enemy will tell you about others. Here's some of these: nobody cares, nobody loves me, the preacher's against me, the church does not love me or accept me, everyone looks at me funny, everyone is a hypocrite, my parents do or did not love me, my husband does not love me, my wife does not love me, my children do not love me. I wonder if the devil's ever convinced any of you about some lies about others in your mind, and maybe some of you believe those lies. You know what happens when you believe them? It becomes a stronghold. And you start making excuses. You ever assumed something? Like, such and such said something about me, or such and such just don't like me, but you really have no proof of that? Has anybody ever had that thought? Well, you don't understand why I don't go to that school, because that teacher up there, they just don't like me. Or I can't go to that Sunday school class because that teacher, they don't like me. I know they don't. Well, how do you know? Well, I just know. Who's behind all that? Say it again. Who's behind all that? The devil. I can't go to church because all they're going to do is preach about me. They don't really love me. They say they do, but I know how they treat me. And then you'll say, has anyone ever treated you unkind? Well, no, but I just know they're thinking it. You ever met someone like that? You know what's happened? The devil's attacked their what? And what are they doing? They're believing a what? A lie. And now it's a stronghold. See, the devil goes to extremes to get people to stop worshiping and serving the Lord. And so what else? You say, Brother Drew, you haven't pointed out me yet. Well, you know, the devil can get you to believe lies about God, about others. And then here's where most of us are going to come into play here. The devil can also get you to believe lies about yourself. How about this one? I'll never amount to anything. Wonder how many has ever thought that. Raise your hand. Just be honest tonight. I'll never amount to anything. What about this one? I'm stupid. Did you know God fearfully and wonderfully made you into His likeness and His image? And last time I looked and read, He's brilliant. Amen? God's not stupid. He didn't create you stupid either. How about this one? I'm ugly. I wonder how many's believed that lie before. You just don't understand. I know what people really think about me. No, no. Who's behind the lie that you're ugly? Who is it? God said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. How about this one? I cannot get victory. The Bible says we're more than conquerors. Amen? Who's behind that lie? The devil. How about this one? I wonder how many would say, I felt this one, I'm worthless. Anybody ever felt worthless before? I wonder who makes you feel like that. How about this one? I'm filthy and dirty, therefore I cannot be used. You know, these are lies that the devil will tell us. How about this one? This is a big one right here. Probably the biggest one on the list. I am not accepted. I wonder how many just be honest and say, Brother Drew, I believed that lie before. Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. I'm not accepted. Well, who says? Did God say that? Last time I read my Bible, Brother Scott, it said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Hey, you're accepted. Don't let the devil lie to you. How about this one? I'll never be loved. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hey, you are loved. Who's behind the lie that you're not loved? Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. Who's telling you that? Who is it? Is God telling you that? How about this one? I cannot do anything for God. You know what? The devil should rephrase that. I don't want you to do anything for God. But instead, he convinces you that you're worthless, you're stupid, you're ugly, you're never going to amount to anything. And folks, how silly are we to believe a lie that our Bible is so contrary against? Y'all with me tonight? How many of you know we serve a pretty big God? Listen, Miss Crystal's going to come to the piano. I told you I wouldn't be long because I have something else I want us to do. We're going to kill the live stream.